Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for him.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It grieves me to share this, but Ken Ham is a crook! This is Wretched Radio. Just flew in from Daytona Beach, and boy, Delta was pretty much on time. Spent a number of hours with Ken Ham, Phil Johnson. Everybody was HB, Charles, Virgil Walker, Daryl Harrison. It was a veritable panoply of folks that we know and love here at Wretched Radio in Daytona Beach, California. I forgot how big the ocean is. It's really, actually, quite a substantial piece of work that the Lord did there. And people deny a global flood. Honestly, how can you not look at the ocean and go, it is pretty easy to imagine the whole place could have been covered. But I did learn something about God when I stared at the ocean. His kindness and his faithfulness is on display in nature. His faithfulness in that we're in our hotel room. We can see the ocean, and I'm just watching the tide in, back out, in, back out. Although I don't know how the water goes back out. I don't know exactly how that works because I just see it pounding in. How it gets back out, well, the Lord knows how that works, and probably somebody who has higher than an eighth grade education. The water faithfulness of just seeing it in and out, in and out. Now, I'm not there, and you know what it's doing? It's still coming in and it's coming out. That's the faithfulness of God. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the faithfulness of God. Every day that is new, the faithfulness of God and full display in nature. But I was also reminded of his kindness because as I sat and looked at the ocean, I was thinking to myself, self, are you an ocean person? And my answer to myself, because I have internal conversations all the time, was, yeah, I hate to say no, because that makes it sound like I'm not in awe of how big God is and how powerful he is and how faithful he is. But I realized, being a Minnesota boy, I'm a lake person. And I thought to myself, well, how kind is God? He doesn't have to provide us any amenities. He could have us living on the moon. Instead, he gave us this planet with optional beauties, little sprinklings of nice things, like an ocean with resort hotels, with the tide coming in and coming back out where you can just sit and, of course, it'll involve a lot of sand and a lot of wind and a lot of sweat, but we get to enjoy that. But I realized it's not my particular cup of tea. And I realized I prefer a lake and a cabin as opposed to a beach and a resort. And it's then that it dawned on me, wow, God gives us optional beauties. He gives us tastes, sensations based on our own preferences. What kind of a God do we serve? One who is so benevolent, one who is so generous, one who is so creative, who's so artistic, and gives us all of these lovely gifts so that we can enjoy them and experience them. We get to pick our preference. So you don't like a beach, you don't like a lake. How do the mountains do you? Oh, do you hear what I just did there? Mountains do ya. I just did. I made a Pepsi joke right there. Do you like the mountains? Okay, you get to go enjoy those. Are you a desert person? Well, congratulations. You've got pretty much all of Southwestern America. You can go and enjoy. You like to just see a cacti? It would be a cactus because that's... Yeah, that would be singular. You like to see a cactus every 600 miles with a lot of sand surrounding it? God gave you a desert. What a kind God we have. That's what I learned when I was staring at the beach in Florida. However, I did receive a text from a buddy of mine I can't recall when he sent this. Now, don't panic. It happens to be a quote from C.S. Lewis. And yet it was articulated so well that I think in the context of what we're conversing about, I think is a helpful reminder as to what these lovely gifts from God are supposed to do. They are not supposed to enthrall us. They're not supposed to make us comfortable. They're not supposed to help us feel at home. From The Problem of Pain, the Christian doctrine of suffering explains, a very curious fact about the world we live in. Do tell, C.S. The settled happiness and security which we all desire, God withholds from us by the very nature of the world. He withholds all good things. He gives, this is me, not C.S. Lewis. You could probably tell. He gives us good things along the way as a part of the journey. But he doesn't give us all good things because that's going to be our destination. Back to C.S. The settled happiness and security which we all desire, God withholds from us by the very nature of the world. But joy, pleasure, and merriment he has scattered broadcast along the way. We're never safe, but we do have plenty of fun, some ecstasy. The security we crave would teach us to rest our hearts in this world and oppose an obstacle to our return to God. In other words, if we had everything exact, I'm on my lake, I got my cabin, we're grilling out, and that is 24/7. Do you know what I don't need? I don't need God. I don't need to rely on him. I don't need to lean on him. I don't need to rest in him because I'm good. And so what does he do? As a kind, benevolent God, he broadcasts, scatters good things, but he doesn't give them to us yet in their densest form. Back to C.S. Lewis. A few moments of happy love, a landscape, a symphony, a merry meeting with our friends, a bath or a football match have no such tendency. Our Father refreshes us on the journey with some pleasant inns, I-N-N-S, but will not encourage us to mistake them for home. Good things are pointers. One day, all will be well because of the redemptive work of Jesus. Then, every second of eternity. Can I actually say that? Every second of eternity, because eternity doesn't have seconds. My point is, then it will be eternal joy. Now, God scatters gifts so that we can have tastes of his eternal goodness because they are meant to serve. They're not meant to be the destination. They're meant to propel us forward and to have us looking toward eternity. That's what I learned about the ocean banging in. But I also learned, grieves me. It just grieves me to say, Ken Ham is a crook. That's right. Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis is a crook. I have proof on my cell phone. Why? Because I left my cell phone sitting on the chair after we finished doing a Q&A. And I ran off, realized I'd forgotten my cell phone. And you know how you get the heebie-jeebies when you don't have your anchor in life. So I went back to pick it up. I knew where it was. It was right on the chair next to me. And as I walk back toward the chair, I see Ken Ham on my cell phone recording a message to me. He stole my cell phone and broke into it. Ken Ham is a criminal. And he's also something that perhaps you don't get exposed to. Maybe not very often. When Ken speaks, he is a funny guy. But you don't get that sense. I mean, if we did a word association game, which I've been told to never do again, and we said, Ken Ham, would you say funny? But he is. He's very funny and he loves to joke around and he loves to exude joy. Is he earnest about his mission? Yeah, yeah, he sure is. But he's also a gas to be around. Had a lovely time at the Cornerstone Conference. The folks at Cornerstone, absolutely awesome hosts and organizers. Well done, y'all. They're very, very sweet people. I felt like I was at my own church. But there were others at the Cornerstone Conference about whom I have some gossip, like Phil Johnson. Next on Wretched Radio.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. No subscription, no credit card. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Well, join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Question. What if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? And Dr. John Crotts, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it, and he's discovered 5 powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Crotts shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Head to Heart, available now on Fortis Plus.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh boy, it's time for Show and tell. This is Wretched Radio. Did I mention I was in Daytona Beach over the weekend at the Cornerstone Conference? It was a wonderful, sweet time. And simultaneously, back here in Atlanta, Georgia, Jimmy, you were at your church's conference with Justin Peters, Jim Osmond, Gabe Hughes. And how was your conference? You show and tell, and then I'll tell you what I know about Phil Johnson.
It was good. It was very successful. Scott Klusendorf also a
part of it.
Yeah.
That rat.
You know,
he didn't even text me to say, hey, I could stop by. Nothing.
Well, I think he did that on purpose. You know, and I was telling somebody, they were asking about the conference, and I thought, this was actually the first time I've heard Scott speak and preach. I've talked to him tons of times,
yep.
But and he was probably my favorite of the whole thing. And it was probably
Justin, man. And Jim and Gabe might hear this.
Well, I mean,
why did it strike you? Scott is a smart guy.
Scott is a very smart guy, but it was how he presented what he presented. It just, I mean, it's not stuff that I haven't heard before. I mean, but he's just really good at what he does.
Oh, he's super. I think he's the best pro-life apologist on the planet.
Absolutely.
Now, there's other good folks, I'm certain. But for all the ones that I know, he'd be the bestest. In fact, he recently, was it The Case for Life? It's been kind of an update. He wrote that book 15, 20 years ago. He updated it. It's a whopper. So if you want to be a pro-life apologist, he is your go-to guy. Speaking of which, I just received a book from Ray Comfort. What I've learned from 50 years of open air preaching. And the reason that I bring that up in conjunction with Scott Klusendorf, who I think is aces at pro-life, Ray Comfort, I think, is the best open air preacher that we've seen, period, on these shores. I mean, period. Like, name another evangelist that has been more faithful than Ray Comfort, doing this for 50 years. Are you kidding me? And just so you know, Ray ain't a pretender. He's always witnessing. Seriously. I would imagine his wife, Sue, must be at this point agitated, because if Ray doesn't have somebody to witness to, he actually shares the gospel with her, which I would, honey, I'm saved. Okay, I got it. Now, I'm not a good person. I understand. I'm a bad person. I broke in the... Well, you can only imagine their dinner conversation. Ray Comfort is the best at evangelism and open-air preaching. So if you want to learn from the best, I commend Ray's book to you, Scott Klusendorf's book to you. And hey, Jimmy, this is exciting. You know who's coming in here on Friday that's kind of related to Scott Klusendorf?
Who?
Greg Kokel.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Greg Kokel is coming in.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to do some Wretched TV together and spend time talking about how to be a winsome apologist. Now, there's a guy, okay, Kokel, I think that he's got it down. He practices what he preaches. And it's really agitating because he and I disagree on some stuff, and yet he's so nice all the time. You know, he's not compromising. He's not aggressive. He is a great character witness for Jesus Christ, which incidentally is one of the reasons that so many kids deconstruct these days. They see kind of aggressive, angry Christians evangelizing. So Kokel will be in. We'll share that with you also. And then one day we'll share with you what Gabe Hughes, Justin Peters, and Jim Osmond did, because while I was flying to Daytona Beach, they were in the studio. How was herding those cats?
You know what, Ton? It was pleasant.
That's the best you can do?
No. So you know, those three did three radio episodes.
Right.
And Gabe was in charge and running the whole thing. And that guy is such a pro.
Oh, he is.
Oh, my
goodness. And he's got such a great voice.
Yeah. We did 12 segments.
Oh, and it right on, and I bet he was bang on with time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think Gabe used to do radio. He's Mr. Well, what, if you didn't know. Well, what? When we understand the text, his videos are on the YouTube machine. Really fine stuff. And I knew that he did radio, so I actually put him in charge.
Oh, okay.
Because, well, I knew with...
well, the other two.
With Osmond and Peters, somebody had to be taming that herd. And so Gabe did a bang-up job. I'm not surprised. We'll air those one day. and share what they had to say. I think they went through the distinctions between like Presbyterianism and covenant. No, did they do eschatology?
They did eschatology.
The four views of eschatology. Okay, now yep. Tell me the truth. Were they fair?
Oh, for sure. They were for sure. I think it leaned more towards one way.
Probably because they're probably all pre-trib and dispensational.
No. Gabe is not.
What?
Yeah, but he didn't.
We let him run the radio program?
That's right.
How good. Speaking of that issue, I don't know if I mentioned I was in Daytona Beach at the Cornerstone Conference. Stephen Nichols was there. He's from Ligonier Ministries. And we chatted and we were talking about how R.C. Sproul and John MacArthur so well modeled what fellowship looks like, even with disagreements. And then I learned something about Ligonier Ministries. Jimmy, this is going to blow you away. Do you know that Ligonier Ministries has curriculum, Bible study curriculum for children? That doesn't shock you.
I know.
They've got two versions of the same curriculum, Presbyterian and Reformed Baptist.
Wow.
Now, come on. Ligonier, they ain't Reformed Baptist. And yet, for their Reformed Baptist friends, they produce the curriculum to serve the body. And do they feel like they're compromising? No. Because Presbyterians and Reformed Baptists agree on what? 95% of pretty much every... Yeah, there's some big stuff. I get it. I know those things aren't inconsequential, certainly. But they're willing, as a Presbyterian organization, to make curriculum so that Baptists can use it? Now that is modeling some grace and some charity and some conviction. Speaking of the Cornerstone Conference, Daryl Harrison was there. And when we were doing a Q&A, I think it was the second day, so it must have been Saturday before we flew back to Atlanta so we could be in our own church on Sunday morning. Daryl was talking, he was lamenting something that we have felt here for years. And that is, you got two things going on. Stephen Nichols mentioned that that Ligonier is putting out their, I think they do it every other year, kind of the state of the church. That's always a scary story. It's really well done. It's really thorough. And it's, you know, it's rightly questioned and framed. It's not all loosey-goosey. And he said one of the biggest threats to the church is anti-intellectualism. There's just not a lot of theological depth. But Daryl brought up, and it was just in a different part of the conversation, that there is a stream of scholasticism inside of the church. And if you love theology... He was talking about you, the individual who loves theology, who loves to gain head knowledge, but it doesn't go anywhere. It makes us, I can't think of another word that suits better than pride. And the reality is, if you swim in my stream, I think that we have the purest water. I do. Otherwise, I wouldn't be in this stream. Neither would you. But that doesn't mean that our stream can never... Oh, there's got to be a name. When two streams come together, the confluence of... into when the Missouri from the Schenectady and the Shenandoah River, they come... I'm making all of this up. Friel, we knew that. When they all come together, they can be a big, beautiful ocean. All right, I'm not pleased with myself for that illustration. The point is, we swim in our stream, but the moment we think we're the only valid expression of Christianity, that's when pride has set in. And Daryl was pointing that out. And to Daryl, I say, amen, brother, amen. Oh, Virgil, also, he did a bang-up job. His fourth point in his five-point presentation about history marching forward, that things are not out of control. The Lord has got a destination for all of this. He's organizing. All the chips on the table are exactly where he wants them. The dominoes are set, and he's going to knock them down as he sees fit, because We are not chaos. We are orderly and we are marching toward a destination. Two seats down from Virgil was Phil Johnson. And you didn't think that I would remember. Phil Johnson was there. It was his first outing since his cancer. This is my takeaway from Phil Johnson, who flew from Los Angeles to Daytona Beach to be with God's people, to feed them. And blood cancer. And he's in remission right now. For 3 days he was there. 3 days. And I just arrived at the conclusion, we need to start eulogizing one another while we're still able to do it and they're able to hear. Phil Johnson is an amazing gift to the body. He is such a blessing to the church. And I want to herald that now. And I wonder if we all wouldn't do well to follow that pattern. If we see somebody doing good, if we see somebody being faithful, let's shout it while they still might be able to hear it and be encouraged by it. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.